I love Pastor Danny and I love Pastor Barbara because they love souls. And 13 years of Passion, but actually met Pastor Danny 20 years ago. And we were both on TV 11 together. And I was doing some stuff in Central South America. And I remember him because he was talking about souls. I remember afterwards I poked Mercy and I said, man, that guy's all about souls, man. That's just clear from the get-go. 20 years later, this man and this woman are all about souls. You're here tonight because there's a man and a woman who love Jesus. And they love his command to go reach souls, to compel them to come in from the highways and the byways. And so could we honor your pastors tonight? Could you just give it up for them? We love you, Pastor Danny, Pastor Barbara. It's an honor to serve on New Mexico Praise, and he's on the America Praise Board as well. And so we're now in 12 nations. In 2 weeks, we launch Arkansas and Orlando. And then this summer, we'll launch Ghana. We're already in 6 nations. We launched 2 more this summer. And because God's heart has always been that his house would be called a house of prayer. Amen. And so we're just doing what he said, and that's why he's blessing it. God doesn't like to bless our ideas. But he wants us to do what he's blessing, and what he's blessing is unified, strategic, unceasing prayer. Amen. Honored to be with you tonight. Such a joy. And we're going to be in the book of Luke tonight, Luke chapter 18. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. You guys are used to that here. So Luke 18, we're going to be in verse 1 through verse 8. And it says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Touch two people and say, always pray and never give up. That they should always pray and never give up. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight, about how we always pray and never give up. Touch two people and say, never give up. Never, ever, ever give up. No matter what you do, never give up. Verse 2, he said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. We don't have any judges like that in America, but in other nations, that does happen. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with this plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Everybody say justice. And for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God and I don't care what people think, and I don't care about this vieja madre, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets sent with me justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. The Greek word means to give a black eye, literally what it means. So the judge was fearful that this little poor little widow is going to come give him a black eye. That's some relentless. I don't know if you've ever been in your home and you thought you might get a black eye. Anyhow, she was relentless. Come on. She was relentless. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge said. Will not God bring about, say it again, justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him, say it with me, day and night. Touch two people and say day and night. So we talk about relentless pursuit of God. What does that mean? That means day and night, 24/7. Pray without ceasing. And I tell you, he will see that you get justice, say it with me, justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Give two people a high five when you sit down and tell them, pray always and never give up. Jesus taught us something very interesting here. He taught us that justice is heaven's response to day and night prayer. Let me say that again. You missed it. Justice is heaven's response to day and night prayer. There was no other way we're going to get justice in America. There's no political agenda. There's no political party. There's no strategic plan that can bring about justice in America that does not start with, that is not birthed by, that is not fueled by unceasing day and night relentless prayer. Can I get an amen? Justice is released in response to day and night prayer on earth. 2 years ago when we started New Mexico Praise, New Mexico was 49th in economy. You remember Intel was winding down. We were in a $300 million deficit. I lead a Bible study in Santa Fe for our legislators. It was very intense because a state that's as poor as us, $300 million, is a big deal. California, they lose that in a day. But in New Mexico, $300 million is a lot to overcome. What are we going to cut? And we started 24/7 prayer. And here's what God did in response to day and night prayer. Not of pastors, but of intercessors, of men and women that got up. Many of you got up at 3 a.m. and prayed. You got up at 4:30. You took your slot on the prayer wall and you prayed faithfully. And here's what God did. Last October, the Economic Institute of D.C. released a study. And it said this. Here's the exact quote. Since January 1st, 2017, which is the day we started New Mexico Praise, which is the day we started unceasing prayer in New Mexico. New Mexico is number one in America in job growth. Number one in America in wage increases. Number one. How do you go from 49th to first? Prayer. Unceasing prayer. That's a justice issue. When men and women don't have the jobs, don't have the resources to put food on the table for their children, that is a justice issue. When we give the banks a bailout and they give their CEOs a $100 million bonus on our tax money, but we can't put food on our tables, that, my friends, is a justice issue. And look what God did. There's a long way to go. Every man and woman in New Mexico has a good paying job. But that is what God does in response to day and night prayer. One of our prayer points was that New Mexico would be a nation, a state that honors life. You heard about New York last week. They passed it. And it's a big, big uproar that in New York now you can get an abortion to the day of birth. Well, we've had that in New Mexico for 40 years. So New York finally caught up in wickedness to New Mexico. Way to go. Welcome to the party, New York. Come on. We've had that all along. And we cried out and we prayed, God, let New Mexico be a state that honors life because you are the author of life. That's why. Because every man, woman, and child was created in the image of God. This is an attack on the image of God. And after 20 years of UNM doing research on aborted baby parts from Southwest Women's Clinic here in Albuquerque, the clinic donates, and I use the quotation, donates the body parts, and UNM donates salary and wages and 15 interns. The federal law says that you cannot trade or sell a human body part. Everybody knew what was happening. Nobody would investigate. Congressman Steve Pierce launched a federal investigation from D.C. Yet he didn't have jurisdiction. So what they found was corruption, but no power to prosecute. That had to happen in New Mexico. And New Mexico said, no, we're not going to prosecute. But because of the prayers of men and women like you crying out for justice, here's what God did. Last October, UNM canceled that program after 20 years. After 20 years, what turned it was not a subpoena. What turned it was not a judge's decree. But what turned it was the prayers of men and women crying out to God day and night. Listen to what the unjust judge said. If my children will cry out day and night, I will send justice. And that quickly, can I get an amen? Luke 18:1. Luke says, look, I'm going to tell you a story. Before I tell you a story, let me tell you the point of the story. Look, one day Jesus told his disciples a story. I'm going to tell you the moral of the story. And the story is this, that men should pray always and never give up. Touch your neighbor and say, pray always and never give up. To pray always. This is a story about the persistence of prayer, about a spirit that refuses to quit, about a fighter spirit that refuses to go down, that when we're down for the count, we keep on fighting, we get back up on our knees, and we fight the good fight of faith. That when our son is hooked on drugs, when our daughter has a chronic illness, when our brother is struggling in prison, when our mother has cancer, that we will not quit, that we will not fight. God is looking for some men and women that have a fight in their spirit, that will not give up because Jesus did not give up on you. When they put the crown of thorns in his head, he could have quit, but he didn't quit. He refused to be denied. He came with a purpose that by the shed blood of his son, he would purchase the souls of every man, woman, and child in history. That redemption would be paid. We would have an option to opt in. But it said, the Bible says he died for the sins of the world. That the blood was shed for every sin, for every man, for every Buddhist, for every Muslim, for every Catholic. Watch out for every Pentecostal. Dear God, that's a lot of sins. Oh, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. All those Catholics, they got those idols. We got gossip, yo. What the heck? Gossip will take you to hell a lot faster than a little Virgin Mary statue or incense. Come on, somebody. That's a different sermon, though. You guys aren't ready for that tonight. So we're introduced to the antagonist in verse 2. In a certain town, there's a judge. Say, in Albuquerque, there was a judge who didn't fear God and nor cared about what people thought. He's a judge. He has power. He has influence. He has position. He has wealth. All the things that the widow did not have. Everything she had none of. She had no influence, no wealth, no position, no power. The Bible says he didn't fear God. He was not a God-fearing man. He didn't respect people. He didn't care about people. He was in it for himself, for what he could get out of it. In verse 6, Jesus calls him the unjust judge. The Greek word means evildoer, unrighteous, wicked, unjust, iniquity. So we're talking about a bad hombre. This is not a morally upright judge. This is a wicked man who's obviously corrupt in his office. He's used to using his position for personal gain and power. Now we have the protagonist. She's a widow, powerless against an all-powerful, corrupt judge. And you've seen this movie before. It does not end well for the widow. Everybody say, but God. Verse 3, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with this plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. She had an enemy. She had an adversary. She had an opponent. There was something wreaking havoc in her life. There was something opposing her in her life from the purpose and will of God. Is there anybody in your life, anybody, anything that is hindering you from God's fullness of his plan and purpose and glory for your life? She had an enemy. And for some time he refused, but finally he said, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, pestering me, nagging me. Do you know anybody that can be nagging? And please do not mention your mother-in-law's name. I can because mine's in Honduras, but don't you dare mention your mother-in-law's name. This widow kept bothering me, and I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually come and attack me and give me a black eye, it says in the Greek. Apparently this went on for some time. He'd be on the golf course with his buddies, wining and dining the powerful attorneys and lobbyists, and they're saying, hey, want some of this, go to Cabo. I don't get to vacation in Cabo. We vacation in Los Lunas. Come on. Holiday Inn, Priceline special. Oh, you've been there. Yeah, it ain't that good. So, 3-star, what? 1-star. But anyhow, she kept bugging him. He has her escorted out of the country club, and then he's on a hot date with who's soon to be wife number 4. And she shows up at Ruth Chris. And there she is. Do you know that woman? Never seen her in my life. You know, she is crazy. She comes in, judge, your honor. Get this woman out of here. Finally, she shows up at his house at midnight. Hello. And she's knocking, and she's knocking, and she's knocking. And finally, he says, dear God, I'm going to get out of bed. What is it that you want, woman? And Jesus, pay attention. If a wicked, corrupt judge would do that, how much your righteous Father? How much more your heavenly Father? If you will not quit, if you will not stop, the Bible says in Matthew 7, ask and keep on asking, right? That's how it reads in the Greek. It's present progressive tense. Ask and not once. I ask and nothing changed. You know, I asked God, and nothing changed. Okay, how many times you watch TV? You watch once? How many times you eat? It's like you've eaten a few times, my brother. You've been to the buffet line one too many times. But you pray once, and you're mad at God? Pastor, we tithe for a month, and nothing got better. How many years have you been violating the command of Scripture? How many years you've been overspending and you think that'll get fixed in 1 month? Watch out. She was relentless. Ask and keep on asking. knock and keep on knocking. The doors will be open. Tomorrow, Pastor Danny and I get to host the mayor of our city. And we get to host our chief of police and the president of the school board and the wing chaplain at the Air Force Base and city councilors and the director of housing and homelessness. And we get to host 15 city leaders. And they're saying, how can we partner with New Mexico Praise to serve the city? But that door didn't open overnight. Right? Because even before Pastor Danny, Danny Sr. was preaching and fighting. And there were people crying and praying. And now we're seeing a breakthrough. Because long before I got to the city, men and women were crying and praying and begging and knocking and keep on knocking. The largest donor to our Convoy Hope event is Mayor Keller. The city of Albuquerque is our largest donor. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, okay? But even before it gets legalized, go ahead and put that in the pipe. If you told me 2 years ago that a pro-choice Democrat mayor would be our number one donor, I would have slapped you. But that's what God does in response to day and night prayer. Can I get an amen? She was relentless. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to be relentless. Are there any fighters in the house tonight? Come on. Are there any warriors? I want to know, are there any warriors in the house tonight that refuse to quit? You will not take no for an answer. 24 years ago, I met my wife Mercy in Bible college. I saw that Honduran beauty walking down that hallway. And I said, Mama Mia, Sopapilla, break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. Come on. That Kit Kat bar is going to be mine one day. Amen. Amen. And I would not be denied. She was going to be my wife, by hook or by crook, whatever it took. And it took a little hook and it took a little crook. Come on, I'm not going to lie to you, but we've been married now 22 years. I was not going to be denied. If your granddaughter needed a liver transplant and your insurance plan said it's not covered, would you say, sorry, mija, you know, we tried. See you on the other side. How many would do that? No, you'd call channel 13, channel 7, channel 4, channel 48. We don't even got a channel 48. You'd be calling them. Ma'am, we're in Tucson. I don't care. My granddaughter needs a liver, you know. You would start a GoFundMe page. You'd sell your house. You would sell everything you had to make sure your loved one got. You'd go all John Q on them, right? You'd do whatever it took. Come on, Denzel. You would do whatever it took. When my daughter was chronically sick, we said, we're going to find an answer. She's not going to scream in pain every night at 4 a.m. She's not going to be in a wheelchair anymore. She's going to run track again. We're going to find an answer. Are there any people in here tonight that are relentless, that are going to say, God, the Bible says, will you give him no rest till he makes Jerusalem a praise in all the earth? Are there any fighters in here tonight? Touch your neighbor and say, always pray and never give up. Touch somebody else and say, always pray and never give up. God is not a cruel God. God's not like, yeah, I'm going to make your daughter sick and I'm going to make you wait 13 years because I like to see you suffer. The outcome, God's not interested in our comfort. He did not die for you to have an easy life. He died for you to spend eternity with him. And God's more interested in your transformation than your comfort. And so he allows us to go through some stuff. Anybody been through some stuff? And sometimes we don't get an immediate breakthrough. And the answer doesn't come. And after 2 years, my daughter's still in bed and crying in pain. And she says to me, Dad, I don't want to live anymore. I'm not in a hospital. I'm not in a wheelchair, but I'm too sick to go to school. I've lost all my friends. I can't sing in the worship team. I'm isolated. I'm lonely, and I don't want to live anymore. I said, wait a minute. What do you mean you don't want to live anymore? What does that mean? She said, I'd rather just die and go to heaven. There's no answers with all my theological training, Pastor Denny. There's no answers for that. Nobody prepared me for that conversation. I got in bed next to her, laid next to her, and I said, I'm sorry, honey. I don't know what to say, but I'm going to fight for you. And she put her head in my chest, and she cried, and we cried for 2 hours until we both fell asleep. I called. I texted my New Mexico Praise Board, called my America Praise Board. I said, please pray for my daughter. She's in a very bad place. I had to get on a plane 2 days later to fly out to Massachusetts to launch 24/7 prayer in New England. Always worried about what would happen. Would my daughter be okay? What would I come home to find? And I was about to call and cancel, and God said, you go. I sent you. You go. You go where I go. I'll take care of your daughter. You go. Okay, Lord. I get back. We did family altar that night like we always do. The next morning I got up. I had a TV interview for Convoy Hope. I get back from my TV interview. She says, Dad, can we talk? I said, yeah, what's going on? She goes, go get mommy. I said, uh-oh. Went and got mommy. I said, is this about what we talked about a week ago? She said, yeah. I said, okay. She said, Dad, I really wanted to give up last week. But then you prayed over me, and I decided I would fight for my life. And so I've been praying 2-3 hours a day that God would give me a purpose and a vision for my life. I know that you have a vision. I know mommy has a vision. I know that I'm called by God, but I don't know what that is. And so I just said, God, give me a purpose. She said, last night I had a dream. She said, you and mommy and I were in Germany. We were launching Germany Praise. And I was there leading with you, not just singing, but I was there with you, encouraging people to pray, encouraging teenagers to pray. And we got in a plane and we flew to Rome and we were in Italy. And we were launching Italia Praise. And she said, the Lord told me in my dream you have to fight because you have a destiny on your life to help lead the world in prayer. So she said, Dad, I want you to know I'm going to fight. Come on. Are there any fighters in the house tonight that refuse to quit? In Luke chapter 8, the Bible tells us a story about a woman with an issue of blood. And there was a crowd between her and Jesus. She'd been sick for many years, 12 years, had spent all her money, and had gotten worse. Sometimes I wish I wasn't middle class, because with middle class there's copays. Right? So Billy Graham paid $2,800 a month for my insurance, and I paid $400. And yet my copays were still $500 every time I went to the hospital. I'm like, I'd be better off being broke on Medicaid. It would be free. But bless God, because I have a job and I have $2,800 a month insurance, I got to pay $500. That's my reward, but you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm like, God, dear Lord Jesus, you know, what the heck? But we kept fighting. We kept fighting. There's a woman who has an issue of blood, and she's fighting, and she spent all her money for 12 years, and she got worse. And nobody will touch her, because in Jewish law, you could not touch someone with a flow of blood, and so she was untouchable, unlovable. But something in her spirit said, but if I could get to Jesus, if I could just touch even the hem of his, I don't even lay hands on me, but if I can just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And the Bible says she pressed through the throng, the crowd, the throng of people. Remember being years ago in Buenos Aires, Argentina, 400,000 people. We had a prayer rally at the Capitol, 400,000 people. And I felt like I was being squished by every side, you know. And at first I tried to be nice. Excuse me. Perdón, perdón, hermano. But then I just got rude. Get out of here. You're crushing me here, man. 400,000, I mean, the throng. There's this crowd around Jesus. And the Bible says that this woman with an issue of blood pushed her way through. And she touched the hem of her garment. What's your crowd that you got to press through? What's the crowd that you got to press through to get to Jesus? Because if you can press through, touch your neighbor and say you got to press through. You got to relentlessly pursue. What's the crowd? Is it discouragement? Is it disappointment? Is it failure? I know a little bit about failure. I've been rich and I've been poor, and I'm not going to lie to you, rich is easier. But God's been faithful through it all. but I know a little thing about failure. What do you got to press through tonight? Loneliness, discouragement, addiction, heartache, betrayal, divorce. What do you got to fight through tonight? Are you going to fight? You're going to press through the crowd to get to Jesus. In 1 Kings 18, Elijah had to pray 7 times before the cloud the size of a man's hand appeared. They had to go around Jericho 6 days, and then on the 7th day, 7 times. Sometimes you got to pray 13 times. Sometimes you got to pray 13 weeks. Sometimes you got to pray 13 years. My spiritual mom, Evelyn, prayed for her dad for 52 years. And in the 52 year of praying every day, he finally gave his life to Jesus. It's never too late. It's never too late. But she pursued and she persisted. Sometimes you got to keep praying. In Daniel 10, the prophet was praying. He was on a fast and he prayed. 21 days later, the angel shows up. And Daniel's like, yeah, you're about 20 days late. 20 days ago would have been nice. And the angel said, the very moment you prayed, I was dispatched from heaven with a message from the Father. But there was this demonic prince of Persia, this fallen angel, that resisted me to get to you. And we wrestled for 21 days, and the fallen angel wrestled me to a standstill. That's how powerful the other side is. So the Father sent back up, and I prevailed, and I got through to you to tell you this message. See, the moment you pray, heaven is responding. But the Bible says to not be ignorant of the devil's schemes, that there are principalities and powers out there, and we got to press through. Because the answer's already been sent from heaven, but you got to press through until you see it. If on day 19, Daniel says, you know, this isn't working, I'm going to go to the king's palace. I'm one of his most trusted advisors. There's lots of food. There's a party. Forget this prayer thing. It doesn't work. If he'd given up, the nation of Israel would not have been restored. Because that was 70 years of captivity. God had a message for the prophet that unlocked the destinies of a nation. And through that nation came Christ. And through Christ, we're all here tonight. But if he had given up, the devil wants to discourage you. He wants to disappoint you to give up. And God says, do not give up on your dreams. You got to just keep on dreaming. When I get really depressed, there's 2 things that I do. Number one, I pray in the Spirit. Number two, I listen to Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Don't judge me. Do not judge me. I got Hillsong on my playlist, but I got some Journey too, all right? Every now and then, streetlight people, I'll look at Mercy and I'll say, honey, we're streetlight people. Streetlight people, we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We have a dream, and we're not going to quit until that comes to pass. Are there any dreamers in the house tonight? God's giving you a dream. God's giving you a vision. 2 Kings chapter 13, Elisha said to King Jehoash, you only struck the ground 3 times. You should have done it 5 or 6 times. No, now you only have partial victory. But if you had struck the ground 5 or 6 times, God would have given you complete victory over the enemy. The king could have said, well, you didn't tell me that. You see, God's always testing us. He's seeing what kind of spirit are we made of. Are we going to quit? Are we going to go back? Are we going to shut up? Are we going to fight? He says, if the Spirit of God had seen in you a relentless spirit, watch out. If the Spirit of God had seen in you a fighter that refused to quit, you would have gotten complete victory. But now we see that in your heart, you're going to give up easy, and you'll only get partial victory. I don't want partial healing for my daughter. We're at 90% healing. I'm going to fight till I get 100%. Come on. How many want your daughter to be 90% delivered from drugs? I mean, you want your father to be 90% saved. No, we want complete victory in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? Touch your neighbor and say, pray always and never give up. In Mark chapter 8, verse 23, Jesus prays for the blind man. And he says, can you see? And he said, well, a little bit. I see men, but they kind of look, it's kind of foggy. They look like trees walking. He said, let me pray again. If the Son of God had to pray twice, if the Son of God, God in the flesh, It says he poured out his spirit upon the Son without measure. Colossians 1:18 says, so in him might be all the supremacy and all the preeminence. That in him all the fullness of the Godhead would dwell bodily. And if in him who dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, had to pray twice. You think you can get away with one little lame prayer at the altar? He had to pray twice for the breakthrough. On October 29, 1941, at Harrow School, Winston Churchill gave this speech. At one point, England was down to one airplane. They were down to one airplane. One of my spiritual dads got drafted in at 15 to be a pilot because they were out of pilots. They were down to one plane. And Winston Churchill goes to the school and he delivers this message and he said, never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never in nothing great or small, large or petty. Never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparent overwhelming might of the enemy. Never, never, never give in. And that became a rally cry for a nation. And they stood bold. And everybody said, just give in to Hitler. Become a slave nation to Hitler. A nation rose around these three words, never give in. Never give in. Never, never, ever give in. Touch your neighbor and say, never give up. Touch your other neighbor and say, never give up. You know, we're Americans. We use the up preposition instead of in, but Churchill said never give in, but Jesus said never give up, so I'm going to stick with Jesus. But never give up, Luke 18:1, where we started. And he told them the story that men would know to always pray and never give up. I want to ask you tonight, are you going to give up? Are you going to quit? Are you going to back down? Are you going to shut up? I know some of you will never shut up. Watch out. Can I get the worship team? Years ago, there was a very godly woman by the name of Monica. She was married to a pagan official named Patricius. He had a very short temper, lived a very immoral lifestyle. They had three children together, Augustine, Nebagus, and Perpetua, very common names in Albuquerque at Presbyterian Hospital. Monica's husband wouldn't let her baptize her children. He did not want them to be raised as Christians, and he forbid it. Her son, Augustine, grew up. She tried to raise him in the fear of God, but his dad's wicked example pulled him into a worldly lifestyle. He left home, moved to Carthage, and had a child out of wedlock. He was living in Carthage. He joined a heretical sect. And Monica kept pleading with Augustine to repent and come back to Christ. But he dismissed her and continued in this sect, living an immoral lifestyle for 9 years. And every day Monica would weep and pray. She'd go to the church. She would pray every morning and every evening for her son that was far from God. One day she went to her priest, her bishop. She begged him. She said, please, Bishop, will you go to Carthage and plead with Augustine? The bishop turned her down, refused. Said, your son's too far gone, let him go. But when it's your child, you can't let him go. When it's your daughter, you're not going to let her go. When it's your son, when it's your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, you're not going to let him go. She kept praying, she kept praying. Finally, one day at the church, early morning prayer, she's there weeping and weeping and obnoxiously weeping, making people uncomfortable. She's wailing at the altar. The priest came to her and he said, go. Just go. Leave me alone. Live on as you are living. Here's what the bishop said. He said, it's not possible that a son of such tears should be lost. Go in peace. It's not possible that a son of such tears should be lost. Go in peace. And one day the Spirit of God moved on Augustine. moved on his heart. He came to Christ. Became one of the greatest defenders of Christianity history. You know him as St. Augustine. The Confessions of St. Augustine, one of the most read books in history. Because there was a woman who would not give up. There was a woman who would not give up, who would not stop praying. I want to ask you tonight, who is your son of such tears? Who is your daughter of such tears? It could be a person. It could be a ministry. It could be a dream. Who is your son of such tears that you would travail? Stand to your feet tonight. Jeremiah 29:11 says, yeah, I know the plans I have for you. You guys have the t-shirts. You have the bumper stickers. We have the coffee mugs. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. I know you guys do the Joel Osteen declaration. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. God knows the plans that he has for me to prosper me, not to harm me. It's a great prayer. It's a great prayer. I want to focus on the verse 2 verses down. You may not have on your bumper sticker that may not be on the magnet on your refrigerator. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and you will find me. But there's going to be a condition to this. I'm not going to make it easy because I'm valuable. And I'm worthy to be pursued. So I'm not just going to give my heart away. So if you want me, there's going to be a condition. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Say with me, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Lift your hands to heaven and say, God, I'm coming after you tonight. Come on, work with me, work with me. Say, God, Father, I'm coming after you tonight. I'm chasing after you tonight. Relentless pursuit. I'm going to seek you with all of my heart. All of my soul. All of my mind. All of my strength. For all of my days. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing a worship song. I want to invite you to the altar. If you need a breakthrough tonight, and you mean it, and you're going to pursue him,
Lord,
you don't mean that, don't come. Do not
make
come.
Make me a house.
Unless you
make
mean it.
Me
unless
a house of prayer.
I'm going to cry at the altar till I get what I pray for. I'm going to strike the ground five or six times
until
I see movement from heaven.
Make me
a
house.
That's you tonight. I want to invite you.
Fire on my altar never burn out. Fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
I wanna seek your face, seek your face. Lord, make me a house, make me a house of bread, a house of bread.
May the fire on my altar never burn out.
The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
May the fire.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out.
make me a house of rest.
Lord, make me a house.
Make me a house.
Make me a house of rest.
I want to seek your face.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of rest.
The fire on my altar never burn out.
May the fire
on my altar never burn out.
Make me a house.
Oh, may the fire
on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house.
Oh, Jesus,
make me a house.
God, we cry out.